Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
With great enthusiasm and excitement about everything that you have already done for us and provided for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't take that lightly. We believe it, we receive it, and we act upon your word. That you have blessed us already with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We're grateful and thankful to you this morning for your word, that it goes forth. It does not return unto you void, but it goes out. It accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. We thank you, Lord God, for granting me great unction and utterance in the Holy Ghost. Think through my thoughts. Speak through my lips today. May my words come forth as of the oracles of God. And we thank you for your anointing, the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God in this place this morning. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for all that you will say and all that you will do today. In the mighty name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, before we get going here this morning, I was led to go a little different direction. So we're going to follow the Holy Ghost. Y'all hang right in there with me this morning. We're going to start out in Acts chapter 16 this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I believe you do, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. I just sense by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is here this morning. His presence is here. Wherever the Word of God is going forth, what's happening, His presence is there to heal, deliver, save, baptize with the Holy Ghost. It's there. He's here. When He's here, that's everything you need. Hallelujah. Praise God. It seems like the Word of God right here this morning. We're going to start out in Acts chapter 16, and we're going to begin in verse 16. And we're talking here about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. And it says, as we were on our way to the place of prayer, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, it says, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell future events and to discover hidden knowledge, and she brought her owners much gain by her fortune-telling. Oh boy. How many know the enemy operates in different gifts opposite of God's gifts, trying to counterfeit there? Yeah. So she was dealing with and getting her information from the wrong spirit, this little slave girl. It says she was a spirit of divination, her fortune telling. Verse 17, she kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, these men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you the way of salvation. Verse 18, and she did this for many days. Notice, she did this for many days. She did this for many days, verse 18. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the Spirit. Well, Paul gets a revelation by the Spirit of God. Here we go. One of the gifts of the Spirit flowing and operating through him. He gets a revelation, a discerning of spirits, and finds out what is working through this little slave girl. So Paul, sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit within her, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very moment. So notice the moment that Paul decided or received the revelation by one of the words. Come on now. A word of knowledge. Dealing with present tense right there. Showed Paul right there what was in that little girl. He dealt with that spirit right away. And it says it came out that very moment. Verse 19. But when her owners discovered that their hope of profit was gone, they caught hold of Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities in the forum marketplace where trials were held. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they declared, "These fellows are Jews, and they are throwing our city into great confusion." But they were not throwing the city into great confusion, because we read in verse 16, they went there to pray for the city. It says, as we were on our way to a place of prayer, Paul and Silas were going to pray for the city. But here's the enemy coming in trying to bring confusion. Come on now. Confusion and blame it, getting you to blame the wrong one. It said, when her owners discovered that their hope of profit was gone, now they wasn't going to make no money through her. Because obviously every time when she allowed that spirit of divination to operate through her, she would charge somebody to give them the information. Yeah. Okay. He said, her owners discovered their hope of profit was gone. They caught hold of Paul and Silas, and they dragged them before the authorities in the forum marketplace where trials are held. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, verse 20, they declared, "These fellows are Jews, and they're throwing our city into great confusion." No, they wasn't. They were praying for the city. Verse 21. But notice when they go to pray for the city, immediately what happens? Opposition pops up. The devil doesn't like that. He doesn't want nobody praying for their city. Come on now. Verse 21, they encourage the practice of customs which it is unlawful for us Romans to accept or observe. Verse 22, the crowd also joined in the attack upon them. Think about that. They persuaded the crowd right there that was out there with them. They persuaded the crowd right here in this forum that were listening to these authorities that were speaking against Paul and Silas, and what they had just done was set a girl free. Come on now. Verse 22, the crowd also joined in the attack upon them, and the rulers tore the clothes off of them and commanded that they be beaten with rods. Verse 23, and when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He, having received so strict a charge, put them into the inner prison, the dungeon, and fastened their feet in the stocks. So it looked like a very hopeless situation, don't it?
Yeah.
It looks like a very bad situation. It looks hopeless. Here they were. It wasn't even their fault. They actually just set this little slave girl free, cast the demon out of her. She gets free, and now they are arrested for doing a good work for God. They could have stopped and had a big pity party and said, "Oh me, can you believe this? We're doing work for God, and we get arrested for doing work for God." No. No, no, we're going to find out what Paul and Silas did do, though. They didn't have a pity party. Because we're serving God, if you got opposition coming against you, you got this that's coming against you, this has been said, this has been done, think it not strange. Come on now. So it says, verse 24, he having received so strict a charge, this is a jailer, he put them into the inner prison, the dungeon, and he fastened their feet in the stocks. So now they weren't just in a prison. They were put in the dungeon down in the bottom where the sewage flowed. It was nasty. It was dirty. It was filthy. They were down there in the dungeon in the sewage. And their feet were locked in stocks. They could not change their, come on now. They couldn't change their position. They had to stay right there. Their feet were held right there. And they couldn't like, I don't want to be in this stuff. I don't want to be here. No. But at verse 25. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying, hallelujah, it says they started out for a place of prayer in verse 16. Now they take the opportunity, come on now, at the midnight hour when it felt the worst, looked the worst, they were told the worst, it seemed the worst. Suddenly, what? But about midnight hour, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises or hymns of praise to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. So they were not quiet about their prayer and praise and worship time. They were very loud about it. Praying and praising their God. And it says the prisoners were listening to them that was in there in that area. Verse 26, suddenly, say suddenly. Woo, I like the suddenlies of God. There's always room for the suddenlies of God. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened. Hallelujah. Here we go. They heard Paul and Silas praying and singing praises. These prisoners did. And they were listening in on the prayers and the praises of these two men who could have been complaining and murmuring and all this other stuff. But no, the prisoners didn't hear them complaining or murmuring. No, they were giving God praise. They were praying to their God. They were being bold about it. They were being loud about it. The prisoners were getting in on it, so much so. Verse 26, if there was an earthquake, I would say that's a lot of power there being released. Hallelujah. Yes. When we praise God, what? The power and the strength and the might of God comes into our situation. The Bible says in Psalms, when we praise God, it stills the adversary. It stills the avenger. It silences the avenger and it brings God's strength into our situation so that God's power can move and operate on our behalf. Well, right here with so much power, glory to God, and an earthquake took place. The very foundations of the prison were shaken and every single person's door was opened and every person's shackles were unfastened, including Paul and Silas. Every single one of them, it says, their shackles were unfastened. An earthquake happened. Verse 27, when the jailer startled out of his sleep, what? He was able to sleep? That's pretty good right there. It must have been so much peace in that prison because of Paul and Silas praying and praising. Come on now. Praising and praising God. Praying and praising God. That the jailer fell asleep. He was in the peace of God and didn't even know what he was in. Come on now. So when the jailer startled out of his sleep, he saw that the prison doors were open. So you can imagine. Here he is. He knew that he had put them all in prison. The doors were shut. The shackles were on them. They were all in captivity. Oh boy. They were being held captive. It says, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken at once. All the doors were open. Everyone's shackles were unfastened. The jailer startled out of his sleep. He saw that the prison doors were open. He drew his sword and was on the point of killing himself. Because he knew if his own authorities over him were finding out, he would be gone. He said, because he supposed the prisoners had escaped. He was at the point of killing him himself because he thought, well, if the prison doors are open, then everybody can escape and go and leave. So he just perceived that they were doing that. Verse 28, but Paul shouted, do not harm yourself. Woo! Paul must have been very aware and alert at the situation, what was going on there. And he observed and watched the guy who was over that prison, who had put them all in there and put their feet in stock. All of a sudden, Paul is watching this guy, and he said, So he said, Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Every single one of them could have got up and ran and left. But we noticed not one of them did. Not one. And then the jailer himself, he was asleep. It must have been such a presence of God in that place. Not one prisoner dared to escape, wanted to leave. They were like, "This is good stuff. I'm sticking right here. I ain't moving. I'm gonna get in on this. Hey, something good's happening. Something good's happening." So Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." Verse 29, then the jailer called for the lights, and he rushed in, and he trembling and terrified, he fell down before who? The other prisoners? No, he fell down before Paul and Silas, the very ones who were praying and praising their God. Yeah. Woo! Wow. He knew the one who was praying and praising. Verse 30. And he brought them out of the dungeon. Here we go. It was the midnight hour. They were in the darkest, most gloomiest place. Didn't receive a good report. Everything looked bad, felt bad, seemed bad, smelt bad, all of it. But he brought them out of the dungeon, and he said, "Men, what is it necessary for me to do that I may be saved?" They saw, they experienced such a presence of God through Paul and Silas's prayers and praise. Yeah. They encountered the presence of God so much that this jailer was like, "Look, what do I have to do to get what you have? Right. Come on now. What do I need to do to get what you got?"
That's right.
I see that this ain't no weak stuff. No. This is something real. This is something genuine. This is something I want to get in on and be a part of and have a part of it for my life.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God. So he says, what is necessary for me to do that I might be saved? Verse 31, and they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping." Woo, glory. "And you will be saved." Love it, love it. "And this applies to both you and your household as well." Paul and Silas are telling this to the jailer. The jailer was like, "What must I do?" They like, "You need to do it, and your family, your household as well." Verse 32, "And they declared the word of the Lord." They declared the word of the Lord, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, to him and to all who were in his house. So obviously he went and got his household and brought them all in so they could hear this word that Paul and Silas were preaching. That's pretty good. They said, "This is good stuff. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Let me go get my family. I'm bringing my family in here. We're going to get the family involved here. I want my family to hear this. I've experienced something. I've encountered something. It's real. Come on now. It's real. It's genuine. And I want to get in on it." Woo! Glory to God. So it says, "And they declared the word of the Lord, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation and the kingdom of God, to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night. He bathed them because of their bloody wounds, and he was baptized immediately." So this jailer, he begins to take care of Paul and Silas, and he begins to bathe them, clean them up from their bloody wounds where they were beaten, their clothes were torn off of them. And it says that he was He took care of their bloody wounds, and he was baptized immediately, and all the members of his house. Here's a revival right in prison. Here's a revival right in prison, all because they chose to pray and to praise.
Yes.
Pray and praise. Verse 34, and he took them up into his house. He set food before them. Now he's feeding them after he cleans them up from where they had been beaten. He cleans them up, takes them into his house. He sets food before them, and he leaps much for joy and exalted with all his family. The whole family's getting in on this celebration now. He says that he's leaping for joy. Can you imagine this? He's leaping for joy. He's all excited. His whole family is in on this. They're hearing this. They're experiencing what he's sharing with them. What they just experienced themselves. They were all just water baptized. And his family. And he said he believed in God, accepting joyously, welcoming what he had made known through Christ. Woo! Glory to God. I think we take lightly sometimes the power that's in our praise. I'm just reminding this morning, because I just felt led to share this morning before we really start on our topic. But that some of you have been experiencing the midnight hour. Things have been coming against you. You haven't. It hasn't felt right. It hasn't looked right. It hasn't seemed right. You have not been told right. But instead of having a pity party or murmuring and complaining, which Paul and Silas could have done that, but they chose not to. What? They chose to praise and to pray. To pray and to praise. And when they did, at the midnight hour, when it seemed the worst, looked the worst, felt the worst, they were told the worst, they were loud about it, they were not quiet about it, all the prisoners were listening, getting in on this, the power of God fell, the presence of God showed up, none of the prisoners wanted to leave, everybody stayed right there and listened to the praises and the prayers of Paul and Silas. They could have left. But they chose not to. And then an earthquake that takes place, and everyone's shackles are falling off and undone. All their doors were open, but they said, no, something here is supernatural, it's taking place, and I don't want to leave. What's going on here? It brought the supernatural right into not only Paul and Silas's situation, but it affected all those that were around them. This, their praise and their worship, not only affected Paul and Silas, but it affected everyone around them. The power of God fell in this prison, and revival began to take place. The jailer himself comes trembling and falls down before Paul and Silas. He goes and gets his family, brings his family in on the situation. Yeah. They hear the good news. Are y'all seeing what's happening here? If we can choose to do the word, to praise and get raised. I said if we can choose to do the word, to praise and get raised. When we praise God, it does silence the avenger, the enemy in our lives. It brings the power of God on the scene. It changes the atmosphere. Think about this. The whole atmosphere was changed. There was an atmosphere change. It was a change. And when the atmosphere was changed, it was conducive for the work of God to take place. So that salvations took place. And not just one or two were affected. It affected a whole family. And even the prisoners. Because they didn't want to leave. But we know that the jailer and his family got saved and born again. So I'm just encouraging you this morning. You have every opportunity when situations come up, when things come against you, when it looks the weakest, the bleakest, when it looks horrible, maybe you've been told the worst. Don't give in to any complaining, murmuring. Choose to praise and get raised. Bring the power of God into your situation. Allow the power of God to work on your behalf. It's so much better. So much better. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing that this morning? Praise God. Praise and get raised. Not shy, not timid about praising their God. They were loud and proud. They went to pray for the city. They continued to pray even when it looked the worst. And they got results from that city. Yes. That jailer and his whole household. We don't even know how many of them it was. It just says the jailer and his household. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
So now let's go back. We have been on a series on staying spiritually fit. Are you spiritually fit? Are you spiritually fit? It's a disciplined lifestyle. We have been looking at different things from, well, if we do a quick review on being spiritually fit, are you being spiritually fit? Are you spiritually fit? We talked about Proverbs 18:14, a strong spirit. It's the strong spirit in a man that will what? Sustain you in bodily what? Pain and trouble. Pain and trouble. A strong spirit. What do you mean a strong spirit, Pastor Debbie? Well, you need to know and understand that you're more than a physical body. This physical body is not the real you. It's the house for your spirit and your soul. That you are a spirit being created in the likeness and image of God. You possess a soul, which is your mind, your will, your reasoning, your intellect, your emotions. And you live in this physical body. This body is the house or the shell for you to contact this physical world that we live in every day.
Yep.
But it's the strong spirit. And we said a strong spirit is one that's going to feed their inward man first. When you take care of the inward man and you feed it the proper food, faith food, the Word of God, the Bible is faith food. This is the proper food to feed your inward man every single day. And we found out why it's important that we have a strong spirit, because there is what? An adversary who is arrayed against us. Because we live in this world, we're not of this world, but we have an adversary who's arrayed against us that we have to remember and keep in our minds and our hearts that he's already been defeated, but he's arrayed against us to try to get an entry level into our lives. And he thrives on weaklings. Those that are weak in their walk with God. The enemy knows whether you're weak or you're strong. And if we feed the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, Peter said, Paul called him the inward man. When we're feeding the proper food, what is the food for the inward man? Faith food, the Bible. So we take time daily on a continual basis, day and night. Joshua says, verse 1, verse 8, day and night, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe and do all according that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success.
Yeah.
But we have to take the time to feed the inward man. Because if our spirit is weak, then it's not going to be able to sustain us when bodily pain or trouble comes our way.
Yeah.
The enemy looks for weaklings, loners, stragglers. We don't want to be found as any of those. We want to belong to a body of believers, a church with a pastor in it. That you know your pastor is hearing from God, like Pastor Chris, and he's teaching on what he believes the Spirit of God is leading him to teach and preach on. So vitally important that you're connected to a body of believers and you're not a straggler out there by yourself trying to fight through life on your own. That was not intended by God for you to be a loner or a straggler. God provided a body for you to be connected to and with. People of same like faith. Always like to say, like those four men, the four, I have four crazy friends. They picked up their friend that was on the mat and they broke through the roof, tore through the roof because they couldn't get nowhere near Jesus because of the crowds that were listening and pressing in to get close to him. So they went up on the rooftop, tore the roof open, and they lowered their friend down through the roof. Four men. They lowered them through the roof right in front of Jesus. Jesus saw their faith. Their faith was in action because they believed if they could get their friend to Jesus, that their friend would be healed. And their friend was healed because Jesus told him to take up his mat and walk, and he did. Hallelujah, right there in front of everybody. But we need those kind of friends in our life. Those that are going to encourage us. Those that are going to help us and say, hey, don't go down that alley. Don't go down that road. We ain't going to have no pity party right now. Nope, we're going to have a faith party. Let's release our faith together. Let's begin to praise God. Let's worship God. Come on now. So we talked about the inward man. We talked about also building the character of you first through developing the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. How important in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we need to build our character first. Yeah. We need to know and develop and exercise and practice the fruits of the born again, recreated human spirit empowered by the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, patience, self-control. If we're all out of control in a world that's out of control, do you think that's a witness? No. We need to have self-control in a world that's out of control. Discipline, a regulated lifestyle, a disciplined lifestyle. Are we spiritually fit? We also talked about the guarding of the heart. We're reviewing now, talking about what we've already gone over concerning staying spiritually fit. Guarding our hearts. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie? Well, what are you continually looking at with these eyes? What are you continually hearing with these ears? What are you continually saying with your mouth? The ear gate, the eye gate, and the mouth gate, they are entrance gates into your heart. If you're not guarding them and you're listening to any old thing and say, well, that won't hurt me. I can listen to that. Yes, it will. The Bible says in Job 34, let me make sure. Job 34, this is a good one now. Y'all ain't gonna forget this one. Job 34, verse 3. Let me make sure that's right. Here we go. Job 34, verse 3. Let me get the right thing here. Here we go. It says that your ears taste food like your mouth tastes food. Oh, let me say that again. For the Amplified says in verse 3, Job 34, verse 3, it says, for the ear tries words as the palate tastes food. In other words, your ear tastes words just like your mouth tastes food. Do you realize that? Your ears taste words. In other words, you need to hearken to what you are listening to. You might be thinking in your own mind or heart, that ain't hurting me. I can listen to that. It will. It does affect what you are listening to. It will affect your life. Especially if it's if you're feeding on the negative, you're listening to all the reports of the world constantly, you're being fed that constantly, you're listening to the news and what they're saying, this is happening there, this is going on here, this is coming your way, you be expected in your area by that. No. Guarding our heart. It does matter what we are listening to, what we are looking at with these eyes. The Bible says the eyes affect your heart. The eye gate is the entrance gate into your heart. We need to take these things more serious. What have you been looking at? Because if you're watching those videos, if you're watching those movies that are negative, that are full of doubt, unbelief, and they're just for all this chaos and all this, I'm telling you, is planting doubt, unbelief, and fear in you. But if we take heed to what we're listening to and listen to the Word of God, put the Bible app on your phone if you have a phone. Listen to it through your phone. Put it on your computer. Pull it up on your computer. Listen to the Bible app. Let the Bible talk to you to help you get that word in there. Guarding your heart. We talked about being spiritually fit, that we need to guard our hearts on a continual basis. Why? Because out of the heart flow the forces of life to live by. One of those forces is faith. One of those forces is health, divine health. Oh my. But if the heart is all clogged up, all this stuff has been coming in, you've been listening to the wrong stuff, looking at the wrong stuff, speaking the wrong stuff. Oh, did you have to say that, Pastor Debbie? Yeah, because we moved on being cautious about our words. We said, what? Matthew 12, about words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can be your damnation. Yeah. That we want to be what Dr. James says, chapter 1, verse 19. We need to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, quick to hear. Slow to speak, meaning we need to be more selective with our words so that we're more effective with our words. And not just speaking what we feel or what somebody else might think or say about us. No. Let those things go. It's what God says about you. That's what counts. So we found out that words are powerful. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. That with your words, you're either giving the devil dominion in your life, or with your words, you're giving God dominion in your life. Yeah. You make that choice by what you choose to speak on a continual basis, day in and day out. Yeah. Not just Sundays and Wednesdays. Uh-huh. And then last week, we talked about that wasn't last week. Reverend Joe Morris was here last week. The week before, we started about recognizing to be spiritually fit is to recognize the methods of operation of our adversary. The methods of operation of our adversary. And we was in 1 Peter. So let's go to 1 Peter this morning. Quick review here. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 8 and 9. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions or test of trials are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So the more we understand that the devil is already a defeated foe, we must learn how to reinforce his defeat and live in Christ's victory in our everyday lives. So it starts out right here in verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, be sober. We found out that word sober means to take it serious. Take what serious, Pastor Debbie? To be serious-minded that the enemy is looking for an entry level, an entrance into to get into your life so that he can begin to what? Take control. So we're taking it serious that we understand that, but yet at the same time we're not devil conscious and looking for the devil under every rock and behind every door. No, it's not that. We want to be God conscious of the one who lives in us and who's with us and for us and not against us all the time. And the more that we get to know the one who's in us and have that living relationship and communion with him, fellowshipping with him all the time, the more you get to know the Father and his voice, the more you recognize the enemy's voice and who he tries to counterfeit and act like and try to be to get you off.
That's right.
To deceive you. Because we know that if the devil cannot deceive you, he cannot defeat you. If he can keep you in the arena of reasoning, he'll defeat you every single time. If you keep him in the arena of faith, you'll defeat him every single time. So we don't want to be go in the arena of reasoning, thinking, thoughts, what? That's how he starts, by what? The Bible says that let's look at the next word. So it says, be sober. So we know we're to take it serious that there is an enemy out there. We're not unaware of that there is a real devil. And he's already been defeated, and we are enforcing that defeat. We know and understand we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Okay? So vigilant, be sober, be vigilant. That word vigilant in the Greek, it means to be on your guard, be alert, be aware. We must be aware that the enemy is trying to find an entry level into our lives and take it seriously. The enemy is serious about his work in taking you and I out. That's what he wants to do. But we need to be more serious in knowing and standing our ground and knowing that he cannot exercise over us dominion and authority. We exercise authority and dominion over him by what we believe with our hearts, what we say with our mouths. So vigilant, we're aware. We're on guard. We're alert. Therefore, we are alert and on guard, and we learn to recognize the methods of the adversary. Why does it tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, his schemes, his strategies, his methods of operation? No, because we have such a close walk with God on a continual basis. We're staying in fellowship with him. We're communing with him. That immediately when the enemy tries to come, we recognize it. Come on now. We recognize him right off the bat. Just like it says in John 8:44, he's a father of lies. There is no truth in him. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has not changed. He's a liar. There is no truth in him. He comes with lies. He tries to strike with lie after lie after lie after lie. That's how he tries to penetrate through our thought life, getting in there to get an entry point. Thought that's just striking you with thought after thought after thought. And he cannot necessarily read your mind, but he can watch how you react to the thoughts that he sends. That's where our actions should line up with the Word of God.
Right.
Not with the thoughts. Remember, you cannot outthink the devil. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with the spoken Word of God out of your mouth.
That's right.
That's why it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or any high thing that what exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we're to take it serious. We're to be serious-minded. We're to be alert, aware, be on guard, because we're walking so close with God that we can immediately recognize the enemy. Oh, that's him. That's what he's trying to do, trying to slip in right there. I see that. I recognize that. No, you don't, devil. No, you've been evicted and restricted. I said, you've been evicted and restricted out of my body, out of my finances, out of my family. Come on now. Evicted and restricted. He has no place unless you give him place. And this is why we're talking about this. And then we go on, it says, ooh, glory. Be sober, be vigilant. So we looked up that word sober, we looked up the word vigilant. It says, because your adversary, I want us to look at that word adversary. In the Greek, it means a prosecutor, one who prosecutes. One who prosecutes, Pastor? Uh-huh. It pictures a court case, a court of law case. And you're in the courts, and you have the prosecuting attorney, and you have your advocate, your defending attorney. The devil being the prosecuting attorney trying to prosecute you with thoughts of slander, false accusations. Come on now, that's how he comes against us. Slander, false accusation, trying to prosecute you and imprison you, where you got Jesus, who's your advocate. He's your defending lawyer, attorney. Come on now. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, that he's the high priest of our confession. Woo, so he's in that court case just waiting to move on the words that you're saying with your mouth in that court case. Because when you declare God's word over you, Jesus said he's watching over that word to perform it for you. In that court case, Jesus is your defending attorney. The devil might be over here trying to prosecute, slander, and accuse you of things. And lie to you about things, getting you to accept lies. Come on now. Yes, it is real. So we have that court case, Jesus and the enemy, and then what you say determines what Jesus can use it to defend. Hallelujah. So the adversary, he'll bring the thoughts of slander, false accusation. He'll try to prosecute you. He'll try to imprison you. Using info about your, listen to me now, using info about your past actions and your present struggles. Are you getting this? Your past actions and your present struggles. We looked the last time that we met here, before Joe Morris last week, the week before, we looked at Adam and Eve and how the devil, what he used the power of suggestion to get an entry point into Eve's, what, thought life, so he can begin to take control of her thoughts. So much so that he got her to believe what he was saying. She knew and she told the devil what God said. And she got thinking on what he said instead of what God said. It moved her in the garden to the tree that she was never supposed to take and eat of, because God told him, the moment you do, you'll die. Die spiritually. She goes right to that place because she listens. The devil got, through the power of suggestion,
yeah.
has God said. Come on now. Yeah. We got to know what God has said. I said, we got to know what God has said and then say, this is what he said. This is what I believe and this is what I choose to believe from here on out. You're a liar and the father of lies. I choose not to believe your lie. You say that. You say that. When he's telling you you're not healed because you feel this here or the doctor showed you this there. No. You have to say, nope. That's one report, but I got the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? Isaiah 53, verse 1. The report of the Lord. The arm of God is revealed to those who believe the report of the Lord. The arm of God reveals the power of God, Jesus himself. Woo, glory, come on now. Reports coming all the time. Whose report will you believe? Let's see if we can get one more word in. So that was the word adversary. We don't want to allow him to get into our thought life through past actions. You need to know and to know for surety that Jesus takes your past, all your sins, throws them behind his back, never to remember them again, never to remember them again. He said, I have blotted out thy sins for my own sake. What did he say? I blotted out. He said, I choose not to remember.
Yeah.
Your sins have been blotted out. Isaiah 43:25, Isaiah 38:17, throwing them behind his back. So don't allow him to use your past actions. If you've asked God to forgive you, God has forgiven you. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. And then present struggles. This is why we want to build on our weaknesses and strengthen. 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 Turn every weakness into a strength. If you've been weak about reading the Word or studying the Word, or you've been just make minor adjustments. Look at it like this. As you're going along life's journey, going down life's road, and you get off here a little bit, the Holy Ghost reminds you, you say, well, you know what? You're exactly right. I need to make that adjustment and get back over here and bring that back to the forefront as a priority in my life. I've let things slip. Maybe some priorities got out of line because your life has been busy and there's been a lot of things thrown at you and you were distracted with this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. But bring your priorities back in line. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first. Keep God first. Because when you do that, all these other things will be added unto you. We're going to stop here because that other word I want to spend some more time on, the next word. So we'll stop here today. Let's stand to our feet. I pray this has helped you. Father, I thank you today for the word of God that went forth. We thank you that it does not return to you void. Holy Spirit, bring things back to their remembrance, the people's remembrance, exactly what they need to hear and believe. We thank you for doing that. In the name of Jesus, quicken every word in their hearts. We thank you for it. And if there's anyone in here this morning and you would like